Welcome to episode 4 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about how a toast can cause confusion, why you need to know the word cheers and how to use it, why hugs are nice but not always appropriate, and the key difference between looking forward to and look forward to. This podcast is aimed at helping you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So, without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi, Alistair. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great. I'm fine. Today, what we're going to do is refer a little bit back to what we were talking about in our last episode, which was all about countable and uncountable issues. And after the last episode, we were talking about the interesting word, which is toast, right? And the fact that some confusion can sometimes happen with this particular word related to that idea, right?
Exactly, because whether you can use it in countable or uncountable, but depending which one, you change the meaning. And this is why it's complicated. So, Daniel, if I said to you, a toast, what would you understand?
Well, I would understand partly because you've put that particular letter there, right? A toast. Then I would always associate it with the idea of the word brindis, right? Let's make a toast, of course.
Let's make a toast.
A very, very important verb in front of that, of course.
Yeah. But, or you could use toast directly as the verb. So let's toast the bride or toast the couple, in a wedding.
That's right.
So you can toast someone, which obviously in Spanish sounds funny. If you translate it as tostar alguien, it's like you're toasting a person in the toaster.
That's right.
Like a piece of toast.
That's right.
That's what a Spanish speaker may understand, probably, right. If they don't realize that when you make toast into a countable noun, it doesn't mean tostada. Obviously, the reason it's uncountable when it's tostada, so you just say toast,
is
because it's bread, and bread is uncountable.
Exactly.
Also in Spanish, but interestingly, in Spanish, tostadas, when you toast the bread and make it into toast, it becomes countable. So you can say una tostada or dos tostadas. This is the problem.
Yes, absolutely. And so we were talking about a scenario, right, where potentially somebody in a hotel or something might say, "Can I have could I have two toasts, please?"
Yeah, or
something
a
like
toast.
That. Or
a toast. Seven in the morning. No,
can I have a toast? Yes.
And the waiter or waitress would understand what?
They would understand basically that you would want to be sort of like having
toasted.
A brindis. Or some sort of brindis, right? And they might ask you what you're celebrating or that.
Yeah, why? Married? You got a
exactly.
new job?
Or that
and
you
also
might,
they'd say, it's a bit early in the morning, no, to be drinking champagne and toasting something.
Yes.
And the poor person would be like, "What? Sorry, I just want some toast to eat with my breakfast. What are you talking
about?" Right. And of course, that would be then clear because they would say some toast, and then the waiter or the waitress would understand completely. They could also, potentially to avoid that mistake, they could also say a piece of toast or a slice of toast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So those types of words always make it very, very obvious what you're asking for. But if you say a toast specifically, just a toast, then there can be some confusion, right?
And said before, two toasts, they're going two, a double. So what? You've got a new job and you've got married.
Yeah, that's right.
So it sounds even funnier in a way if you say three toasts. You've got three toasts.
A busy breakfast.
Tres brindis.
Right? That's right.
So yes, it's interesting that by the same word and has two meanings depending on if it's countable noun or uncountable noun.
That's right.
So you can make it countable with piece or slice. No, so can I have a slice of toast?
That's right.
Or a piece of toast? Or three pieces of toast?
Yeah. So yeah, those are. It's kind of just a tiny sort of little thing, right? But these tiny things can sometimes really make a difference.
A big misunderstanding you can have.
Yeah, absolutely. Language is a little bit like that. I think it's like you can just have a slight differentiation, and somebody can completely understand something completely different, right? It's just so important to kind of get those details right. Continuing on from that, obviously, is the whole idea of the word cheers, right? Because that is connected to the whole idea of brindar. Right? Yes. And it's kind of interesting to continue our discussion related to that, because cheers can be used in so many ways. And it's one of those words that is often used by people who go and sort of work or live in the UK for a while, and they come back to Spain with it, and they kind of really know how to use it, right? But
yeah, because it has various uses, not just the obvious, which is, you would say, you know, having a drink in a bar.
That's right.
Say cheers, no, chin chin or salud.
That's right, exactly.
But in Britain, I don't think United States. I think in United States, it only has the meaning cheers when you have a drink.
That's right. Yeah.
But in Britain, we use it in. Probably more often, in fact, in another way.
Absolutely.
How would you use it? I mean, when you're in Britain,
Basically, I would use it in two contexts. Probably either to say sort of like goodbye in some way or form, like cheers, see you later, something like that. Yeah. Or it kind of just maybe the main meaning would be just to say thank you. You know, like if you're getting off the bus, you say cheers. It's kind of one of those words that you can just like repeat in so many different contexts, right?
But, yeah, and people sort of just understand it in the context.
Yes.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be your friends. You say complete strangers. So like the bus driver, taxi drivers, you're getting out of the taxi. You say, oh, cheers, see you, good night. Yeah. So it's like thank you. It can be thank you and goodbye at the same time.
That's right.
Not, cheers.
It's true. It can be thank you. Yeah.
And British people use it a lot, no?
I mean,
when you go back to Britain, you notice people all the time saying, oh, yeah, cheers. Cheers,
that's
mate.
That's right. That's right.
People
that's
in shops, no, or strangers say, oh, cheers, mate. Mate.
That's right.
Friend.
Mate meaning friend. Yes, absolutely. And that's another whole story that maybe we'll talk about another day.
Maybe another podcast, the word mate. Yes, that's right. quite an interesting word and its uses again.
Yeah. And then I'd just like to kind of get your idea about how, to what extent you could use the word cheers in a business context, because you kind of might think initially that you wouldn't use it at all. And certainly maybe that is kind of my instinctive reaction would be to not use it.
Yeah.
Certainly in a maybe more formal meeting. But if it's more related to a colleague that you know quite well, then maybe I would use it. Do you know? I don't know.
Yeah, in the office with people you work with.
Yeah.
You're friendly with, you know them. I think you can use it, yes. Yeah, so when you write an email, but it's someone you know, or you have a relationship with, or you have, you know, you basically know them, you can say, you could just end the email with cheers, which I suppose would be like un abrazo, maybe the equivalent.
Yes, similar.
Something like that. So it's informal, but it's acceptable even in a business sense with people you know. Obviously, not to a stranger in another company, or you wouldn't say cheers, but between the people you know in your own company or people you work with a lot in another company who you have regular contact with, you're on a friendly basis. You'd just say, cheers. Either spoken or at the end of the email to say goodbye, no? Like un abrazo.
Yes, exactly. And that, it's a nice one. It's actually one that I quite like using myself, especially to with people that I know well. You know, it's just a kind of an alternative to saying thank you or maybe, you know, it's friendly. That's right. And maybe if you kind of want to give that impression to the other person that you don't want to be too formal, because if you put best wishes or best regards, then you kind of, they almost
sounds too formal,
right?
Yeah. With someone you know well.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
because you wouldn't say un abrazo would be a hug, in English, but you wouldn't end an email, even in an informal environment, definitely not at work, with people you know well in the office, you wouldn't say a hug.
No, you wouldn't.
Or at the end of your email, would you? It sounds a bit too intimate.
Yes, that, yeah, the hug element probably comes more maybe with, certainly not at all related to sort of business or professional environment, right? And we can come on to a little bit about how we might use that actually, maybe with friends and family, but certainly it's something, it's such a common mistake, right? I mean, I'm sure you've seen that hundreds of times, right? At the end of an email, a hug, you know? And
it's a bit too much.
Yeah, certainly in English, it is a bit too. I mean, the idea itself is nice. It's just that it's just not what we use,
it
right?
It doesn't seem, it's not appropriate language in a business environment, even with colleagues you're very friendly with.
That's right.
You wouldn't end an email in a business environment saying a hug.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just not done. No, that's not right.
No, it's just not done. Exactly. And I mean, when you think about that, that particular expression, the thing that comes to my mind is sort of hugs and kisses, which would be maybe where in England we would use that even potentially between sort of family members, you know?
Very good friends.
Yes. Yes. Something that you would use on a card, maybe.
It's like a birthday wishes or something.
Yes. Yes, something like that. So it's really important, these kind of distinctions, right?
Yeah.
Between, you might think that in the end it doesn't really matter, but actually those small differences do matter.
Could give
actually a
bad impression.
No? Yeah. But of course, there are loads of other alternatives, right? Maybe it's useful for us to go through a few alternatives in terms of...
How would you end? What are the typical endings to an email?
Yeah, a business email. I mean, I don't know what... Do you have a preferred one, Alistair? Do you use one?
Did I use personally?
Yeah. In terms of a formal ending to an email?
Well, I do use cheers a lot, but that's with obviously people I know quite well. So I feel confident to say cheers. A little more formal, would just be regards, best regards.
Yeah.
You can make that more informal by putting initials BR for best regards.
Yeah.
So the same expression becomes more informal by putting the letters, no?
Yeah.
What else would I say? Yeah, you could say all the best.
All the best. Yeah, I use sometimes best wishes. Yeah, I often use best wishes. I don't know why I use that one, but I use
sort of a habit.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a habit. It's very much a habit, right? Just like, I suppose, you know, for Spanish speakers as well, they kind of probably just use exactly the same one all the time. But
I think you tend to get your sort of standard favorite and you use it, you repeat it.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that. Just ending every email with regards, best regards.
Absolutely.
But then if you want to be a bit more friendly, that's quite neutral, I'd say, neither formal nor informal, quite neutral.
Yeah.
There's no sort of feeling to it, no? But if it's someone you want to express that, yes, we have some kind of relationship.
That's right.
Like a good colleague or someone you know well.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit too formal. Then I'd go for the sort of all the best or cheers or maybe nothing, in fact. You can just then put your name or thanks.
Thanks, thanks, thanks. Thanks is a good one. Thanks is a good one, yeah. Thanks is a good one, yeah. Cheers, I think, is kind of good. And in a way, it's all about sort of relationship building there as well, isn't it? Because you don't want to be too formal with somebody you want to be more friendly with, right?
Exactly.
So that is really key. So you don't want to...
Yeah, because you're putting a sort of barrier there between you.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I don't want to get more intimate. I mean, intimate in a business sense. You know,
that's
closer to you.
Yeah.
But if you want to have a more chatty, there's a good word, you know, email or messages between colleagues in a professional environment. And so you want to build that friendly relationship informal relationship.
Yeah.
Then saying things like, oh, cheers.
Yeah.
Creates that, no? Whereas you
it
keep
does.
Saying regards, best regards. Or at the beginning, no, when you begin your email, dear John, dear Juan. Again, that sounds very formal.
It does. It does. Very formal. Very, very formal. Yeah.
We were taught at school to write letters like that. So when you wrote letters, you'll say you have to begin a letter with dear, somebody, dear Mr. something or Mrs. or dear the first name. But these days in emails, it's... sounds very formal.
It does. It does. It's kind of like the dear is one of those kind of words that has kind of gone out of use in
out
that
fashion,
way, right? Out of fashion. That's right. And I don't think that I would use that almost in any context. Certainly when I think of the word dear, I almost think of like a letter written on paper. Do you know what I mean? I don't
It feels very much like a letter. No?
Yes, it does. It does.
And it's often to an organization you don't have any... So it's not to an individual person. I mean, it could be. But a person you've never met. So you're writing like a letter of complaint. you bought something in a Corte Inglés or some shop, and you want to, you're complaining about it doesn't work properly, you want your money back or something. This kind of, which maybe, well, these days would still be an email. It would have been a letter in the past.
Of course.
It may even be a letter still today, but probably an email.
An email, yeah.
And then you would say, if you don't know the person's name you're writing to, dear sir stroke madam, very formal.
Yeah.
Or if you have a name, you put the name, you know, dear Mr. Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it sounds very formal. So you don't know this person and you're writing maybe to complain or it's not friendly.
You're
probably quite upset or angry.
That's right. That, in that context, potentially you would use that. Yeah, you would use dear, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but that's because, the only really environment I could think of, that situation days that you would say dear sir, madam, dear Mr. something.
Yeah. And before we got onto the podcast, we were also talking about the whole idea of, you know, if you didn't know, even know the name of that particular person, then there's also
got no name at all.
Yeah.
You don't even know which department particularly would be dealing with your email. So you're just writing to the Corte Inglés, no, or the company, BMW, about a car.
That's right.
So it's, you're addressing the organization and someone's going to deal with this letter, you hope, or this email, but you've no idea who it is. You don't have a name. So perhaps the most formal, but it's very useful actually in this kind of emails or this kind of correspondence, very formal, to whom it may concern.
Exactly.
It's quite a complicated one.
It is. It is a little bit tricky.
With them.
Yeah.
To whom it may concern.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many, well, in a business environment, professional, you might have to use that.
You might. You might. Also in sort of job applications sometimes.
Oh, yes. I mean, job applications. It's a very common one.
Yeah. Because you might not know the name of the person who is in human resources, right? I mean, you know, it's, it could pretend. These days, maybe it might be easy with sort of LinkedIn and everything else. You might know.
Yeah, you can often find out names.
But generally, if you don't know, then that expression is very, very useful. Very formal, but it kind of works very, very nicely in that sort of context of not knowing. Yeah,
it's a useful one to know that it exists and you can use it.
Yeah.
But it is very formal and it's in certain specific situations, no?
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's, but not to your colleagues in the same office. You never say to whom it may concern.
No.
It sounds ridiculously informal.
No, yes.
And very unfriendly.
Yeah, exactly. And I think all of these things, as we kind of talked about, speaking about just before, right? They are small things, but in terms of a business environment, they are so, so important because you want to get it right. You want to either show that you want to kind of develop that business relationship with someone, you know, you want to, especially if you're kind of looking for further business, maybe, you know, a lot of business deals or whatever, they get done when it's actually a little bit less formal. You know,
yeah, exactly. When you
if you kind of get to know them as a friend or get to know them a little bit better
on a friendly basis,
that's right. Then that's maybe often where these kind of you know, potential new contracts or whatever are sort of, okay, this is the person I really want to work with. I'm more friendly with this person, so I think it will work better, right?
Yes.
So it can be, these small words can make a difference, I think.
Yeah, for you and your image, your professional image.
Absolutely.
And then, as you say, when you want to build a particular, if you want to maintain a form, if you want to maintain a distance with this person for some reason, so you don't want to become particularly friendly, intimate or whatever, maybe you're not going to have any kind of ongoing relationship or dealings with this individual.
That's right.
You don't really care. So you would perhaps be more formal in the way you speak to them, write to them.
That can be very useful too, right? It can be very useful. For example, if you kind of have a situation where you kind of feel that this particular provider is not, or supplier is not the right type of supplier, or you feel as if that it is just not going to work out, then you might want to be a little bit more formal because you don't want to take the relationship, let's say, to that more relaxed state.
To the next level, if you
So,
or to indicate your displeasure with. So again, coming back to like the complaints letter. So if you're sending an email where you're complaining or not happy about something in some kind of negotiation, then the style of your email in general, I mean, the content as well, but also the way you begin and the way you end it, you might make it more formal deliberately.
Yeah.
Because you want to maintain a little bit of distance.
Exactly.
And not become too friendly or informal. No?
Yeah.
And so it can be a strategy. that you can use.
It can, absolutely. And I think these is worth thinking about all these types of things. And there was, of course, one particular expression that we were also talking about just before the podcast, which was the idea of the standard phrase that lots of people use at the end of an email, which is, I look forward to hearing from you, right? And it's a classic. But there are a few things that we kind of, is important for people to know about that particular expression, right? And we were talking about those, and particularly the whole idea of whether to use gerund or not in that particular case, right?
Yeah, this is important. A common mistake I've noticed, and it's an understandable mistake, is obviously you say, I look forward to hearing from you, to receiving your reply soon. These are the standard endings.
Yeah.
And we're using, it's a phrasal verb. So look forward to. So the to forms part of the phrasal verb. It's a three-word phrasal verb. And therefore, the to is not the to of the infinitive. It's got no connection with the next verb. So people get confused easily because they think to. So it must be, I look forward to hear from you, to receive your reply.
That's right.
Because they tend to associate the to with the infinitive. And here, to is a preposition. It's not the two of the infinitive. Exactly. And there is a general rule in English. There's not that many student. People are always complaining, there are clients about, but English has no, there's a rule, but then there's 100 exceptions to the rule.
That is true. Yeah, the exception to the rule.
This one is actually a good rule that you can apply always, I think. I don't think there are any exceptions. So after a preposition, the next verb is always a gerund, ing.
In general,
not only in this expression. So for example, I'm afraid of flying. Tengo miedo de volar.
Yes.
But in English, I'm afraid of flying. Why? Yes. Because afraid of.
Yes.
And of is a preposition. So flying, not I'm afraid to fly.
Exactly.
Just another example. So you look forward to someone. I look forward to you, receiving your reply, to hearing from you.
Exactly.
Seeing you next week in the conference or whatever it may be.
That's right. Exactly. So that is the little tricky part, right? At the end part of that particular phrase. But then there's also a tricky part at the front, right? Which is where we don't use the gerund at the front, because it's quite tempting to say, I am looking forward to hearing from you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas ideally, you should actually put that as an infinitive, right? So it should be, I look forward to hearing from you, right? So it's a kind of a strange one there, because again, you would naturally probably put, say, I am looking forward to hearing from you. But in this case, it's actually much better to say, I look forward to hearing from you, right?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just a habit we have. When we use it as a formal phrase at the end of it, it's just a standard ending to emails, a polite way to end your email. And for some reason, it's in the present simple. Now, usually that contradicts the rules, because a present simple is used for repetition of some kind of, so routines, habits, things that repeat.
Exactly. Yeah.
And in this case, no, it's in this moment, I am looking forward to receiving your reply or hearing from you. So it really should be, strictly speaking, a present continuous, but we don't use it in emails, never. I mean, if you use it, it's not a big problem.
It's not a big problem.
Possibly nobody even notices.
No, yeah. Yeah.
But really, you should say, I look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah.
I look forward to receiving your reply.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. But that's just what we do.
It's one of those things, isn't it?
It's one of those things. Yeah.
It is. It's an interesting one, certainly.
It is. As opposed to normal life. So outside the office, in your dealings with friends and whatever, you would say, I'm looking forward to something. This would
be by
far the most common use in a present continuous, because now in the present, you are actively looking forward to, thinking about with excitement, something that is going to happen in the future. So I'm looking forward to my holidays, to the weekend.
Exactly.
But when you put it at the end of an email, no.
Yes.
You say, I look forward to hearing from you.
And that distinction we can say it's like maybe just a detail again, but all these details add up, right?
And they add up. Exactly.
They do. And so definitely when you're in the actual, if you're in a situation where you're speaking to someone and you're talking about something that is coming up and it's something that you're really looking forward to, then you would say, you would use that present continuous.
Yeah, right? In a business. So it's nothing. It's not actually to do with personal life or business. At work, in business, yes, when there is an event in the future, Yeah. I don't know, you're going to a conference in Paris for a week and you could say, oh, I'm really looking forward to going to the conference.
Exactly.
Or someone asks you, are you looking forward to the to going to Paris next week? You say, oh, yes, I am really excited. It's going to be great. So that's a conversation at work.
Yeah.
It's perfectly acceptable, no? Because you're looking forward in this moment to this thing that's coming in the future. But then when you write your email to somebody else, so when it's written, you'd say, I look forward to seeing you next week in Paris at the conference to a colleague from Paris, for example.
Yes, yes.
I don't know why that is. It's just, as you say, one of those things that...
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And you need to know. Obviously, if you don't know it, your natural inclination would be to write, I'm looking forward to.
Yes, 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 yes. But then it would, yes, it kind of, the fact that you put it in infinitive basically is just adds a bit of formality, right? It adds a little bit of formality.
Possibly there, that's the reason. Yes.
Yes, it's a bit more formal. That's right. But, you know, just so that everybody knows that distinction between the whole idea of you describing something when you're speaking, you would use present continuous and then otherwise you would just use, I look forward to, just the infinitive. Yeah.
And again, it's not the worst mistake you can make.
No,
you
know. No, not of course.
But
no.
Obviously it's better to know and do it correctly. No?
Yeah. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. And it kind of, that kind of links through to the idea of the whole type of expression, which is in Spanish, right? Which we kind of would sometimes connect to the whole idea of look forward to, which is tener ganas, right?
Mm-hmm,
and that is something I think that we can talk about maybe in the next episode, because there are lots of complications.
Yeah, I think so. How to translate, because sometimes the ganas could be used with look forward to, other times with other expressions in English, depending what you're talking about with a ganas.
Yes, yes.
It's a nice word in Spanish. I like ganas.
Yes, yes. And I suppose in many ways, it's kind of a little bit more adaptable, right? Because you can use it in many different types of scenarios, whereas in English, look forward to is quite fixed. Yes, yes.
You could translate it like, well, this is something we'll talk about, like deseando, no?
Yeah.
So it's like a deseo, it's ganas. So it's more than one thing in Spanish also.
Yeah, but anyway.
So the translation between the two is something you have to think about quite carefully.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, we will leave it there for today, because we'll get into that. But certainly I am looking forward to talking about that.
I'm really looking forward to talking about look forward to
yes,
in the next podcast.
So thanks a lot, Alistair. Really great to spend time with you again. And I'll see you again next week. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Cheers. See you then. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. If you have any feedback or just want to get in touch with us for any particular reason, you can do that through our email address, which is coach@danielsmith.es. And just send us a quick email and we'd love to hear from you. All your feedback is very, very welcome. And for now, thank you very much and I hope to see you again next week.